I want to talk to you. The Lord's already ministered, so I just want to teach you something, and then I'm going to let you go. But the book of Deuteronomy 16, 9 through 12. Actually, for the sake of time, I'll just read verse 12. It says, "And you shall remember that you were once slaves in Egypt. And you shall be careful to observe these statutes." You need to remember that all of us were once a slave to sin, but Jesus set us free. This is what brings such joy and gratitude in your heart when you realize what God has done for you. Sometimes some of you need to just stop for a moment and tell your children why you even come to church, why you give or why you serve, why you read your Bible. You need to tell them, listen, mom and dad weren't always once free. Mom and dad didn't always know the Lord. We were bound in sin and shame and guilt. But Jesus set mom and dad free, changed our destiny, put a song in our heart. We were tormented, but the Lord Jesus came to us and delivered us. And we want you to know the Lord all the days of your life. How many of you are glad that you're no longer a slave to sin? Come on, amen. You no longer have a slave master called Satan. Jesus Christ has died to set you free from all bondage. Jesus didn't die for 50% of your sins. He didn't die to set you free 25%. You can't be 75% free and 25% a slave. Come on, can I get an amen about that? He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. You are free. Let me tell you what you owe the devil. Nothing. All the lambs that were slain from Genesis to the Gospel of St. Matthew, all of them collectively could not settle the debt that sin had laid upon us, where we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. It was like it pacified God, but it did not satisfy God. How many of you have a credit card? How many of you ever had a credit card, right? And every month you get a monthly statement. And it says, this is what you owe. And then it says, minimum payment. How many people have ever seen this on their credit card statement? Come on, say amen to me if you know what I'm talking about. It says, minimum payment. All of the lambs from Genesis to the Gospel of St. Matthew, was paying the minimum payment. When you pay the minimum payment, it pacifies the debt, but it doesn't satisfy it. It lets you live on another month, but the debt is still there. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? When Jesus died on the cross, he did not pay the minimum payment. He paid the balance. This is why you don't owe the devil anything. You are free. Do you understand that? You are free. It didn't pacify sin. It delivered you. It's like if somebody came today and paid off all your credit cards. Some of you would shout more than you've been shouting already today. This is what Jesus did. This is why we worship. You need to tell your children this. Teach your children why mom and dad are so thankful. Why do you get up early and go to all the services? Why do you serve? Why do you do that? Why do you volunteer? Mom, dad, what is this thing? What is this you're doing on the app and giving? What is this check you write? What is that? They don't even know what a check is anyway. What is this thing? Let me tell you why we do this, because Jesus set us free. Praise the Lord. And this is a beautiful thing. Today is Pentecost Sunday. And I want to teach you this. So 7 times 7 is 49, obviously. And Pentecost represents 50. Everybody say Pentecost represents 50. And it's measuring 50 days from Passover to Pentecost is 50 days. And it was known that there was the Feast of Weeks and Feast of Harvest. They were celebrated. There was the Feast of Pentecost where you brought God the first fruits. How many of you believe in putting God first, giving God the first of your day, giving God the first of your income, giving God the first of your week? Come on Sunday, you're all here giving God the first of your week. And the Bible teaches us that in the book of Deuteronomy. Second, we had the feast of wheat and harvest. Third, in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit was poured out. And how many days was it from Jesus's resurrection to his ascension? How many days was that? It was 40 days. Everybody say 40 days. 40 days. So when Jesus resurrected until he ascended to heaven was 40 days. He was raised from the dead on the third day. And between the third day and the 40th day, he appeared to many people. Come on, amen. That's a beautiful thing. He appeared to many people. He walked through a wall to the disciples. Can you imagine a body comes through the wall? You'd freak out. That's why he said, don't be afraid. Because they were afraid. So he said, if I saw an angel, I wouldn't be afraid. Yeah, you would. Yeah, you would. That's why every time in the Bible an angel appears, the angel always says, fear not. Every time. Because people are freaked out. So he walks through a wall and shows himself to Thomas. Doubting Thomas. He says, I don't believe. I don't believe he rose. I'm not going to believe until I see him. And Jesus comes through the wall and appears. And he says, come, Thomas, look at my hands. Come, Thomas, put your hand in my side where they pierced me. Look, it's me. Thomas was healed and believed when he saw Jesus' scars. There are some people that will not believe until they see your scars. Your scars are your greatest testimony. There are some people in your life that will not believe until they see your wounds and your scars. And if our Savior is willing to be identified by his scars, maybe you should be willing to be identified by yours. He showed Thomas his scars so Thomas would believe. Do not cover your scars. If you cover your scars, you will always feel victimized because you will not be able to reason why God let you go through what you went through. You won't be able to make sense of it. Why did I grow up without a dad? Why did my parents divorce? Why was I molested when I was young? Why did this happen to me? How come this? I was falsely accused? How come I lost that? How come this happened? You will forever feel victimized until you show your scars. And when you show your scars and somebody sees them and they get healed and they believe, now you'll be able to reason why God let you go through it. It was for his glory. This is how you turn misery into ministry. And pain into praise. God never wastes pain. So show them. Do not be ashamed. It is your scars that qualify you. So many people think it's what they didn't go through that qualify them. It was what you went through that qualifies you. Do you remember, I don't want to get into this story too much, but do you remember the prophet in the Old Testament? He had a message to give the king. And he went to the soldier and he said, strike me. Hit me with your sword. And the first guy wouldn't do it. So he went to the next guy and he said, strike me. And so the soldier wounded him. Wounded him severely. And blood was running down his face. This is a man of God. Run down his face, and he took the wound and bandaged it and went and sat by the side of the road. And when the king was coming down, y'all know this story? When the king was coming down the road, he noticed the man that was bleeding, and he stopped. And the king came out and said, do you have something to tell me? And the prophet began to prophesy to him. What qualified the prophet to speak to the king, and what made the king stop and listen was the prophet's wound. It's your wounds that qualify you to be heard. The lie of Satan is to make you think that your wounds disqualify you. Because I've been through this, nobody wants to hear what I have to say. Because I didn't do this right, nobody will ever believe. Nobody wants to hear me. This happened to me, and so I sit there quiet as a victim the rest of my life. And Satan tells you the lie that time will restore you, but time really just stores you and lets the clock run out on you. I feel Jesus. When Jesus wants to heal you, and it is your wounds that qualify you to be heard. So I break the shame off of the church today in the name of Jesus. And I release you from self-loathing and self-pity. And I rebuke you for decorating your prison cell when the door to your freedom is open. Jesus. Praise the Lord. Forty days after the resurrection, he ascended, which is 10. 10 days between the ascension and Pentecost, all of the disciples waited and tarried. They did a 10-day prayer meeting. So many people think, man, I've been walking with Jesus for 3.5 years. Why do I need to pray? My resume speaks. I'm ready for ministry. But Jesus said, go and wait until you be endued with power from on high. Jesus said, you need the gift of the Holy Spirit, because that without the Holy Spirit, you're doing it by yourself. He said, go and wait. Go and wait. We should call the sermon today, go and wait. They're the complete opposite. Go and wait. Go and wait. The church does really good in the going. We don't do so good with the waiting. Wait on the Lord. Your healing's in the waiting. You can't even get healed physically without waiting. If you go to the doctor, where do they put you? The waiting room. You got to wait. You got to wait 3 weeks to see the doctor. Then when you get there, you got to wait in the first waiting room. Then you go to the little waiting room. The whole thing's about waiting. Come on, am I right? We want to go. I'm ready to get married. I'm ready to start a business. I'm ready to do ministry. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. Nobody wants to wait. When I was younger, I was so confident. And everything, I was like, I am ready for everything that God wants to do in my life. Now, I'm ready now. And now at 45, I'm like, I am less sure of anything that God is ready to do in my life. Can I get an amen about that? Life teaches you to put some disclaimers in. As far as I know, best I can recall. This is what life does. Learn to wait on the Lord. If you don't wait on the Lord, you're going to do it on your own. You're going to start a relationship on your own. You're going to start a business on your own. You're going to start a ministry. Just because you went online and started a 501c3 doesn't mean you have a ministry. Just because you went online and got a certificate of ordination doesn't mean you're anointed. You need to spend time with Jesus. You cannot do the work of the Lord without Him. So many of us fail to realize that we need to wait on the Lord. Everybody say, wait on the Lord. For the sake of time, I'll leave you with this thought, but Genesis 11 talks about the Tower of Babel. And it says, let me just read it to you, verse 1. It says, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found the place of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. Come, let us bake bricks and make them. And they had bricks for stone and asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city. Come, let us build. Man, we can build this. We can get this together. Let's go. Come on. I just need a couple of people who talk like me and aren't surrendered to the Lord, aren't surrendered to anybody. And we'll build something. We'll do something great for God. Listen to me. Listen to me. God doesn't need any of us to do anything great for Him. God only receives what He does. This is what happens in Revelations when all these people are going to say, didn't we do this for you? Didn't we do this in your name and build this in your name and do that in your name? And He goes, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I don't even know you. All these people who, I'm going to do this great thing. I'm going to build something great for God. God doesn't need you to do anything great for Him. God only receives what He does on His own through you. God only receives what He births. He only blesses what He births. It's not about you going out there and striving on your own to do something great for God. God wants you to do, He wants you to surrender so He can do His work through you. Not your own agenda and your own will. God, deliver me and all of us from anything we're doing that you're not a part of. How many people right now would like to surrender everything in your life that you're doing that Jesus is not a part of? Wow. How many things are we doing out of fear? Spite. Trying to prove something to somebody who didn't believe in us. Do you know how many people are in ministry today because somebody thought they couldn't do a good job? Do you know how many people are striving to win at something just to show somebody? Got the new car and driving it up and down the street in front of your ex-husband's house hoping he'll look out the window and see you. I don't need a two snaps and a circle. What are you doing? Why are you doing that? Is this something God laid on your heart? Have you waited? I feel, when you don't wait on the Lord, listen to me, young people, when you don't, Satan specializes in making you feel like you're late. Because rush is the enemy to His presence. We can rush out of here. I can have you out of here in 50 minutes and you'll leave like you came. And we can glory in how short church was. I love that church. They get you out so fast. You should come with me. Oh, you don't like church services? Come to our church. It's really short. You'll love it. Really? Is that what it is? Or is it like Jesus is there? People wept. Miracles happened. People got saved and delivered. Marriages were actually healed. What ignites your heart? Praise the Lord. Satan loves to make you think you're late. Look at them. They're getting married. You're still single. Well, there's the marriage. Another friend's married. All my friends are getting married. And he starts talking to you. Satan starts counseling you. And you go, she got married? If she got a man, you know this is a demon got me living by myself. You have Satan will counsel you. You cannot let Satan counsel you. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You are not late. You are on time, if not early, when you walk with the Lord. Quit comparing yourself to people. And this tower, they built this tower. And they said, come, in verse 4, and they said, come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. See, Babel is man going up. This is always the direction of the flesh. Isaiah 14, Satan goes, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will sit on the throne of the north. I will be like the Most High. Next thing Jesus says, I saw him fall. The direction of the flesh. Look at that verse. Come, let us make a name for ourselves. Come, let us be Instagram famous. Come, let us be social media famous. Come, let us build a name for who? Ourselves. What do you want and why do you want it? Is it about Jesus? Or are you trying to prove something to somebody who didn't believe in you? It's Babel. It's Babel. It's Babylon. It's the spirit of Antichrist. It's a spirit of self-works, doing it on our own. We don't need God. We will go up. We don't need God to come down. Pentecost is all about God coming down. It's all about yielding and waiting and surrendering and saying, God, I need you. This is what Jesus did in the baptism, and the Holy Spirit ascended upon him, and the heavens opened, and the Father said, this is my Son. He went under the water. He went down, and the heavens opened. Jesus washed feet. Everybody wants to go up, but the kingdom says go down. The least shall be first. It's not about being over anybody. It's about being under as many people as you can. It's about serving the least of these. It's not about making a name for ourselves. Come, let us make a name. Let us build something great. And we'll do it without God. We'll do it on our own strength. Man can build some amazing things, but at the end of the day, it's not. What does it matter in light of eternity? I coach leaders every month. I went out with some leaders yesterday, and I took them. I said, I want to take you someplace. They said, where are you going to take? I said, surprise. So Pastor Joy and I got in the shuttle bus, and I told him, I said, sit down. Don't make me turn this bus around. So we got in the bus and we went out. 15 of us went out. And I took them to a cemetery. I said, I want you to get out. I said, I want you to walk around the cemetery for about 20 minutes. I said, how many of you ever been to a cemetery? None of them. None of them ever been to a cemetery. I said, you know the interesting thing? I said, you know why I want to bring you to a cemetery? I said, because churches used to have cemeteries. Every time you pulled up to the church, you had a reminder of eternity. Yeah. You'd pull up into the parking lot and be like, oh yeah, after church, let's go over there and put flowers next to Sally. She used to serve with me and the usher team. She's with the Lord. Let's go put flowers out by her. Yeah. The cemetery was at the church. Am I right about it? Now you got a whole congregation of people. I don't even been to a cemetery. It was a reminder of eternity. We are fighting for people's forevers. And I said, I want you to walk around. I want you to look at some of the things that are written. And I want you to look. Some of them their age. Little girl was here, 6 years old, same age as my daughter, Liliana. 24, 21 over here. 21, 30, 45. Some people live to be 90, 98. Husbands and wives.
You see them. 13. In eternity. 25 over here. It's a girl, 25 years old, died in eternity. And their whole life is summed up in a dash. Every laugh, every tear, every cry, everything. Because you know what God has on all of us? Eternity. In Proverbs 10, I can't remember the verse. It's Proverbs 10, I think verse 18 or 13. It says that those that fear the Lord, how many of you fear the Lord? Those that fear the Lord, he adds length to their days. Spending time with Jesus makes you live longer. Literally, in the Bible, it tells you that. Makes you live. How can you have time to do anything for an hour and you can't spend an hour with Jesus? And then it says, those that practice sin, their days are shortened. That's what it says in Proverbs 10. How many of you want to have a long life? Yeah, fear the Lord. What do you mean fear the Lord? You don't fear it like God's going to get you. It's the fear of not having it. It's like, how many of you fear oxygen? None of you. The only fear is in not having it. Let's take it away from you for about 30 seconds. See how well you do. You would freak out. Let me take oxygen from you and then sell it to you. How much would you pay? Everything. Let there be no oxygen in the room. What is it now worth? You give everything. This is what the Lord is. We need the Lord. We cannot do life without him. The fear of the Lord is like, I need him every day. All day. How many days of your life do you need oxygen? How many minutes of the day do you need oxygen? Well, is there a day you're like, ah, today I'm good? Is there a part of the day you're like, oh, this part of the day I'm okay? You're like, I need this all the time, every second actually. I really can't go anywhere without it. If I go to the store, I need oxygen there. If I go to work, I need oxygen at work. At home, I need it at home. Yes. But if you go to the park, how about there? You need oxygen there? Yeah, I need it everywhere. And any place where the oxygen's toxic, I want to leave. That's right. This is what it means to fear the Lord. I need him all the time. He holds the breath that I breathe. So let's not be a people that build our own towers to God, trying to impress God with what we built. You know what it looks like? It looks like a little kid building a tower with Legos. You know, you can get these. My kids were always in Legos when they were little. And so they get these Legos, and you can build an entire kingdom, a Lego kingdom. And you're like, you just destroy it. It just doesn't mean anything. And they work so hard on it. They build all this kind of stuff. And it's like, yeah, but it's a Lego kingdom. It's like, it's only big in your mind. Some of us are building these Lego kingdoms. And it's not going to matter at the throne. It's not going to matter at the throne. Pentecost is saying, God, I need you. I will wait on you. I will spend time with you. I cannot do marriage or life or parenting or business without you. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. How many of you need the Holy Spirit? If you're married, you need the Holy Ghost. Just stay married. If you're single, you need the Holy Ghost to stay single. Come on, can I get an amen about that? Some of you are totally messing up at being single. You're missing out on the beauty of singleness. Let all the married people say amen. Ask a married person, I want to get married. Go on, get married. Go on. See how much fun it is. They'd be like, don't be, just wait. Just wait. Just take a deep breath and wait. You're going to be all right. With all the married people say amen. Act like something's in your eye. Reach at me. Wait on the Lord. I'm not saying not to start a business. I'm not saying not to do things. I'm not saying just to be passive. I'm saying go with God. Yes. Go with the Holy Spirit. Do not build something for your flesh. Say, God, I need you. This is the power of Pentecost in our life. Come on, you get something out of this today. Do you feel the Lord today?
Hey, I know that this sermon blessed your heart. I hope it's been an encouragement to you to become more like Jesus. That's our heart and that's our prayer. He's the X on the treasure map. He is the topic of heaven. Everything is all about Jesus. And I want to encourage you, get up in the morning, spend time with him. Pray, seek his heart, seek his face, and see what he will do in your life. Before you go, I want to ask you to prayerfully consider being a truth partner. And like I mentioned earlier, it reminds me of Aquila and Priscilla, who would help the Apostle Paul spread the message of truth. A couple, a married couple, would just invest to spread the message of truth to so many hurting people. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He is truth. And you can be a truth partner today by simply texting truth partner, one word, to 53555. If you haven't subscribed, subscribe to the channel. Click that little bell for notifications. But thank you for your generosity. So many of you give online, you give throughout the week, all over the nation. And I just want to say thank you so much. We're using this resource to continue to get this message of truth out to so many broken and hurting people. And we want to be a blessing to you. And so let us know how we can pray for you. You know, comment below. There's a lot of resources on my website that are available to you. But we want you to know how much we love you. Thank you for partnering with us. Thank you for being a truth partner. We'll see you back here on the channel real soon.